We're now beginning the seventh perek of Erechin. I'd like to say in preface that whereas the previous in the previous chapters dealt for the most part with the concept of the Erech Neder, the vow that a person made that he gave either according to his own value or someone else's value, that was appraised by the Torah, that was set by the Torah according to the gender and the age of the person whose valuation is being vowed to give to the Beis HaMikdash. Here we're moving back from Parshas B'chukosai, where the halachas of Erechin take place, to Parshas Bahar, where the laws of Yovel and the return of land during the Yovel take place. And the Yovel was observed up to the point when the ten tribes were exiled, because Yovel has to be can be observed only when all 12 tribes are living in Eretz Yisrael. And this perek begins with a subtopic within this concept of Yovel, when a person is makdish, sanctifies land, gives land over to the Beis HaMikdash during the Yovel. If a person sells land to somebody else, so the land is returned to him. But if the person sanctifies that land, gives it over to Bede Kamayis, to the maintenance, the value of the land can be sold for the maintenance of the Holy Temple, then there are different laws that apply. And the Mishnah begins, Ein Magdishin Lifnei HaYovel Pochus Mi Shtei Shonim. Translated literally means one does not sanctify land before the Yovel less than 2 years. But however, the Rav points out that's not exactly so. There's no prohibition. One can sanctify land 2 years before the Yovel takes place. However, if he does so, he's going to be at a big disadvantage, because less than 2 years before the Yovel takes place, if he wants to redeem the land, the pro rata concept of a year, X number of years according to the Yovel, applies, and that's all that he has to pay, doesn't apply over here. Within 2 years, redemption of within 2 years of the Yovel, the person has to pay the full 50 sloim that the Torah sets for redemption of land that's consecrated before the Yovel. So so that's more a matter of what the Rav refers to, Eitzah Tova Kamashmalon. The Mishnah is coming, giving us good advice. One shouldn't be makdish within 2 years before the Yovel, because if he does so, instead of paying a proportionate amount of what's left up to the Yovel, he has to pay the full 50 sloim. Then the Mishnah says, "V'lo goelin liachre Yovel pochus mishana." Now this means literally one does not redeem after the Yovel less than a year. But what it means to say, the Rav explains, is that you're not talking about the first year after the Yovel, but any year after the Yovel, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years after the Yovel. If it's in the middle of the year, a half a year, that half is not prorated. That's considered still, he has to pay redemption three quarters of a year. He has to pay it as a full year. Even though it's less than a full year, nevertheless, the payment has to be made for that full entire year if he's redeeming it. However, there is an exception of al hektish mechashiv. Then the Mishnah explains the reason: ein mechashvin chadoshim lehektish, because we don't, to the detriment of hektish, we don't subtract on the basis of months. We don't say, well, part of the year is used up, so he'll only have to pay a half of a year's amount for that year. No, that's never done. It's either a full year or not a full year. However, the Mishnah continues, Aval hektish mechashiv chadoshim. But for a hektish's advantage, we do could take months into account. For instance, I said in the beginning of this Mishnah that within 2 years of the Yovel, if one redeems, one has to pay the full 50 sloim. So we don't say at this point that the half year into the first year of those 2 years is considered like the full year, and there's really 2 years left, and he pays 2 years prorated value. No, It's with less than 2 years still. Then we view those 6 months or 3 months or 4 months, whatever, having gone by, to Hektish's advantage, and he has to pay, as I said before, because it's less than 2 years now before the Yovel, he has to pay Hektish, he has to pay the Beis HaMikdash, the full 50 sloim, the full amount. There's no prorated amount less than 2 years. So here we don't view the part of a year as a full year, and say that he's still 2 years before the Yovel. No, that's the Hektish's advantage. We view it as X number of months have gone by. It's less than 2 years, and he has to pay. A person has to redeem it. Has to pay the full 50 sloim. Now the Mishnah goes and explains the valuation process. Hamakdish is sudeyu b'shas yovel. A person who sanctifies his field in the time when the Yovel was observed. Again, the time when all the tribes were living in Eretz Yisrael. No sein bezera chomis orim chamishim shekel kosef. He gives for a zera chomis orim, for amount that one would take 30 saws, an area that would contain 30 saws of barley seed. And the Rav explains, let me read it to you. In the Rav, zera chomis orim makom. It's an area, sheyacholim lizroa bo kur se'orim, where a person could sow a kur, which is 30 saws, of se'orim of barley seed. Kishezorim of polisya, when he sows it, by tossing it out, taking the seed in his hand from a bag, I guess, and throwing it out onto the field. Ubezriya beinonis, and we're talking in a situation where he does it in the average way. Lo shia azera mekubatz biosir, not that the seed should be too gathered together, too concentrated, and when concentrated, v'lo mefuzer mefur harbe, nor should it be too scattered and separated, but an average amount of an average throw, an average farmer would throw. So for that amount of land, and that's how we view it in those in parcels of that amount of land. A person has to pay, if we were assuming for the full 50 years, if he's redeeming the full 50 years, he pays chamishim sel, a shekel kesef, chamishim shekel kesef, again. Nosin bezera chomesorim, chamishim shekel kesef. He gives 50 shkolim of kesef. That's the full amount, or the amount he pays if he's redeeming in the 2 years prior to the Yovel. Now, hayushem nekoim. If there were in this land crevices, amukim asura tfochim, that were 10 tfochim in depth, which made them were a separate entity, osloim gavoim asura tfochim, or rocks that were 10 tfochim high, einim dodim imo. Those crevices or those rock projectiles are not measured with the field. Now, the Gemara comes and says that the case we're talking about in terms of the crevice is where the crevice is filled with water. If the crevice is A, 10 tfochim deep, which is a separate entity, and it's filled with water, so it's useless for sowing, for growing things, sowing and growing, then it's not measured with the field, and it has no value. However, what if the crevice was 10 tfochim and or less, and we'll say 10 tfachim because that's a different entity, and it was not filled with water. So here there's a lot of discussion in the Mefarshim as to what its status is in such a case, whether it's then measured without water, whether it's measured it's considered part of the field and it's included in the 50 sloim for that for the kur, for the 30 saws of area that contains 30 saws, or no, then in such a case, it has to be appraised independently, and that money given separately as a separate entity to the Beis HaMikdash. And the Tosfos Yom Tov has a lot in this particular on this issue. Then the Mishnah goes on and states, "Pochus mikan." However, if the crevice is less than 10 tefachim, the rock is less than 10 tefachim high, nimdodim imo, then it's considered as part of that area, even though it might not be usable. And the pochus mikan would include also, in the case where it's filled with water, where the crevice is filled with water, then it is counted with the field. It's part of that field in terms of its situation and redemption. Hikdishu shtayim u'shalosh shonim lefnei yovel. Now, in a case where a person was makdish a field 2 or 3 years before the yovel, which is more than 2 years, 3 years, whatever, no sin selu punyin l'shona. The amount of redemption is a selah and a pundian per each year, but he has to pay it, as we'll see, in one lump sum. Now, let me explain the concept of selah pundian. The Torah says that there are 50 sloim, assuming that he would redeem it at the beginning of the 49 year cycle, he has to give 50 shkolim for the whole amount. Then it's prorated, but the Chazal rated it as a sela and a pundian per year. Now, a pundian is 1/48 of a sela. So let's do the math. If you take 48 sloim and a pundian, that brings you up to 49 sloim. Then if you give the additional sela and the pundian, that brings you up past the 50 sloim of the Torah to 50 sloim and a pundian. 50 sloim and a pundian. There's an extra 1/48 of a sela that is given according to what the Chazal required. So the question, why is the extra pundian due? There should be 48 of a sela in the pundian and an additional sela, but an additional sela in the pundian. But we require an additional sela in the pundian. So there's a pundian of 50 sloim. So many say, and the Tosfos Yom Tov has some problems with this, but many say that it's the language that comes in Shkolim, the language of kolbon. Kolbon is actually it's a Greek word, agio, is a type of additional surcharge meant to guarantee, remember the coins are weighed, and it's possible there's some error or discrepancy. So to make sure that when all these coins are weighed, that if there was a discrepancy, the base of Mikdash doesn't lose out, that a larger amount is given over, so that to make sure that Hekdish gets its full amount. So it's an additional amount to guarantee the full amount in a weighing situation. So the Mishnah says, Nosin selu pundian l'shona. Imamar harini nosin dover shona b'shona. I want to pay out, let's say, this year's amount for this, I'll redeem it, this year's amount I'll pay this year, and next year's amount I'll pay next year. No, he's not allowed to do that. He has to redeem the field in one lump payment. So we don't listen to him if he wants to do that. Lenosin is kulo kiyachad. But rather he gives the entire amount in one lump payment. If it's 3 years before the Yovel, then he's giving 3 sloim and 3 pundim, but he has to give it all at one time. Mishnah Beis. Echad ha'ba'olim v'echad kol ha'adam. That in terms of redemption, that's the fee. The Torah sets a fee of for 50 years, 50 sloim. And the Chazal actually made it into 50 sloim and 1 pundian. Echad, the bottom, whether the owners redeem the field or somebody, anybody else does. The Mishnah asks, "Ma bein ba'olim lebein kol adam?" What's the difference then between the ba'olim, the owners, and anybody else? El shba'olim nosdim chomesh. The ba'olim have to pay an additional fifth, which is actually a quarter. In halacha, that we speak about a chomesh milgav and a chomesh milbar. A chomesh milgav, if you're assuming 100, 1/5 of 100 is 20, would be 20. But a chomesh milbar, a chomesh that's from the outside, would be 1/5 of the principal. So that chomesh milbar of 100 would be 25, because we add the 25 to 100, it's 125, and 25 is 1/5 of the new sum, 125. And we generally, most of the time in halacha, we're dealing with chomesh milbar. When we say a fifth, we mean we mean a quarter. When we say a sixth, we mean a fifth. So here, let's assume again also, a person does not have to redeem the entire field. He can redeem the field in parts. So let's assume, for argument's sake, that is redeeming a part of the field where, according to the measurement of 50 sloim per core of sarim, would come out to be, let's say four sloim. So when he pays the four sloim, when he redeems the field for four sloim, or that part of the field, he's redeeming it. He actually has to pay, if he's the owner himself who's redeeming it, he pays five sloim. But if it's anybody else, they pay four sloim. That's what the Mishnah is saying, that the owner has to, when he redeems, has to give the chomesh milbar, which is really a quarter of the actual principal. This comes up also, let's say, in Meiser Sheni. A person has to be mechalal, has to take, doesn't want to carry all his grains to Yerushalayim, so he's allowed, the Torah gives him allowed to take a coin, a good coin, and to take the kedusha of the Meiser Sheni and transfer it to the coin. If the owner does it himself, he has to appraise the value of the land and add an additional fifth. If somebody else does the redemption for him, then he only has to give the value of the land. This is the end of Mishnah Beis.